Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited for this conversation. And I always like to start out by calling a spade a spade. This podcast is going to be so good because we just got done talking about how it was so good when we recorded it yesterday when I didn't record it. Yep, that happened. And I put that out there to say we're all real, we're all human, and we're all putting that out there. But from yesterday's conversation, there were so many conversations around the conversation that this podcast is all about decarbonization. And don't hit cancel because that's another buzzword you don't want to hear about. We are talking with the team that makes this a reality. But it's hard to actually figure out how to do this and move forward for reducing carbon. And the main benefit for you is that Nolan has been doing this while meeting existing businesses where they are. And we're going to talk about that. So my perspective for this is that showing profits on how to actually do this and really talk about the big theory of change in all the major sectors, but I'm super fun to talk about how we can go in and hack capitalism and put all this stuff together. And I'm super excited to announce going forward when it comes to offsite solutions, we're switching up the Art of Construction around the new Master Facilitators program, and we're bringing in co-hosts around vertically integrated sectors. When it comes to Jason Blanker, Blank is the dude all about offsite solutions. And he has been a true champion with me for all things Art of Construction and our partner around offsite solutions. So why I brought up the re-recording, him and I have been having some great conversation. I said, Blank, it's really time for you to step up and really be the solutions experts around offsite. And it's really time for me to elevate and delegate, which we've learned all about over the years from the Kindling in the podcast, which was his first podcast, AOC show 139, titled Building Something Great with Blanker Companies. And the story that I have to tell is I always ask, what's your favorite beverage? And today I'm going to pass the baton to somebody else to ask the favorite beverage, to Noel Brown. But when I asked him that beverage, a couple weeks later, I got a six-pack of beer from his favorite brewery on dry ice. And I was like, wow, this guy knows how to take care of the people that take care of him. And I'm honored to say he is our offsite guy going forward when it comes to Art of Construction and will be our co-host today and at an upcoming summit that we're going to be doing podcasts around when it comes to construction technology in Austin, April 17th through the 19th. And also, Blanker, before I turn over to you on your perspective, we really started this whole journey together around saying, let's really look inward, look ourselves in the mirror and talk about who we are. And I want you to talk about that when it comes to your perspective. Honor to have you here as my co-host on this journey when we talk about what we call systems built, which is around blending on-site and off-site construction.
Hey, Devin. No, it's great to be here. I'm honored to be a part of the AOC tribe and everything that you've built and gone forward with. I remember, you know, early on when your podcast first came out and I tuned in and listened to it regularly. And it was awesome to be, you know, a guest on your show and learned a lot. And the relationship that we've had certainly has grown from there. And I appreciate that. So, yeah, it's going to be cool going forward to dive into some of these offsite solutions and see what we can dig up. There's a lot of buzz going on in the industry. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to help educate, builders and contractors and affiliates to be able to, you know, explore it as an option and leverage it in their business. So, you know, that's kind of my perspective. I think the construction sector is really focusing on industrialized construction and what you and the Art of Construction has passionately called the systems built world. So we'll be able to dive into that a little bit deeper and glad to have Noel Brown on today because he's got his fingers in there as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit in today's episode. And it's really ready to take off. And you know, that's part of the Master Facilitators when you created that and we started having conversations around that. really the Master Facilitators was all about being able to take a deeper dive. You hear these nuggets, whether you're in a conference or you listen to a podcast, and you really need to explore them further. This Master Facilitators group is a great group to be able to leverage the knowledge and expertise that they all have and you know, take it to the next level and start implementing the things that people are talking about on stage or on podcasts or whatever it is. So I'm excited for that. And you know, today we're going to talk a little bit about clean energy systems, and we're going to talk a little bit about finding the styrofoam, which Noel shared a little bit with us, and it's going to be pretty exciting. So
yeah, what a perfect way to kick this off, right? Like, you brought Noel to the table, I'm bringing you to the table, and it's first who and then what. And so I'm super excited to kind of share the mic a little bit more with the right riches in the niches, and meeting the different people and businesses where they are. So I'm super excited to go on this journey with you, Blanker, and sit back and get to know Noel with you and have as much fun as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be exciting. It's all about the connections and the people we meet along the way. So you never know where life's going to take you. So Noel, welcome to the Art of Construction podcast. Great to have you on the show. Got a couple of questions to get started off, kind of in the lightning round here in the beginning of the show. So we're going to kick it off with, what is your favorite beverage?
Well, that's a tough one. Obviously, there's a couple beers that I like, but if I went with a thirst-quenching drink, I'd have to go with ginger ale. Nice and spicy, you know?
Yeah, that it sure is, and seems to pair well with my bourbon in the late afternoon. So,
well,
good to hear that.
I've got plenty of ginger ale. We should get together and make some drinks.
Perfect. I know Dev likes his bourbon as well. So yeah, we'll have to make that a date.
Sounds good.
So next question: what is the favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
On that one, I'd have to say Cambodia. It was, I was back there in 97. So quite a while back, but it hasn't changed all that much, but, Angkor Wat, the big memorial, it's on their flag. So it's pretty big deal for them. And it's one of the most, amazing, mysterious places in the world, surrounded by like jungles. And I would say I'd highly recommend it if you have time.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Do you have any favorite stories from your trip to Cambodia?
We had a lot of really crazy stories. One of them was actually at the Angkor Wat Monument, and I bet you it's not like this anymore, but back in 97, they had just had a revolution. And so my wife and I went to go see the monument, and we walked outside the monument. There's these nice big grassy fields with a couple of nice little woods around them. And as we started entering the woods, we hit there was a big wire fence with a orange sign on it that said, landmines, be careful. And we thought, probably not a great idea. It has a skull and crossbones and a little landmine under it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we're not going to go walking through the woods today.
Yeah, that's gotta be a little bit scary. It's, you know, but at least they marked it and warned you for it. So that was good. Next question. What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, I'd say my favorite, I love travel. Cambodia is just one of many places where I like to go, but, I really like motorcycles, and, my friends and I took these two things, put them together and made a hobby out of that. So kind of adventure biking around the world in these different, like, interesting locales. I've been doing it with my friends these are friends from around all the construction industry. So it's all construction friends mostly. And we ride around and, Nepal, India, South America. We're going up in a trip to Alaska pretty soon. It's going to be awesome.
Well, great stuff. Well, it's an honor to get to know you, Noel. And Jason, thanks for stepping up and bringing him here to the party and talking about all things systems built. But we got to meet the people and businesses where they are. So, Noel, can you go back and talk through what is your story that led you to being the founder of ADL Ventures?
Yeah, for sure. I've always been interested in, I started my career as a military strategist, believe it or not. It's strange how I wound up here. But there's a red line, or a red thread, I guess is the word. And that started with energy, actually. Energy security is a big deal in military science, right? You have to make sure that you have oil or whatever you need. And so I was kind of studying how oil trade routes and energy supply lines worked around the world. And I think I started thinking, well, wouldn't it be great? This is a huge strategic problem and it caused lots of friction all over the world. What if we could just make our own energy? If we were energy independent, that would be fantastic. So I kind of started getting on the mission of energy independence for the United States. And not that long later, I interests intersected with the solar industry, because in a way you're making your own energy. So I thought, well, that was really cool. I went back to grad school. I really wanted to go work at a solar company. I worked for Evergreen Solar. When I came out, I did that for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I got hired to be a research director at MIT after that to found and then run the Center for Sustainable Energy Systems. And it was a fantastic opportunity. It was great. I worked on it for, I guess, 7 years, right? We took that little group from just me and one other person to about 80 people. We were doing all sorts of research that was, competing with some of the better research institutes in the world. And I had a construction group in there, or building. It was actually a building energy efficiency group. So building technology group. And it was during that time that I really got steeped in the technology and science of buildings. And then ultimately, simultaneously, actually, I was a board member of the Stow Corporation and, the building products company. So it was a really interesting experience to be thinking about the same problem, saving energy in buildings, from the fancy academic side of the house, but then in the very practical world of actually doing it. And for me, seeing the practical world was really inspiring. And I really wanted to go out and do something. I wanted to take all this technology. I felt we have a lot of technology. I felt we had to figure out how to get it deployed so we could save energy. And so the idea was, the idea behind ADL Ventures was, how do we basically decarbonize or save energy or have a positive climate impact, but make it happen in a cash flow positive way for corporations.
Awesome. So we got to hear your backstory on really all about decarbonization, but working with big companies like Stow, and then taking ADL Ventures and putting that in the middle. And as we've been having these pre-interviews, pre-recordings, not recordings, all these different conversations that we've been having, Noel, it's really a perfect fit with Blanker and I having this in between of these who and what of taking different startups, where Blanker has been in the trenches when offsite solutions of figuring out how do you take a human hand and a robot hand and put them together. There's a lot of moving parts to that. And there's a lot of smart people that have to figure out how to do that. But historically, that's not how it's been done. So the startups to the proven corporations, like you mentioned, working with Stow, they have a lot of resources, and figuring out how to take those resources and put it in the middle. And that's what ADL Ventures has done. Just like we started the Art of Construction podcast that grew to over 300 plus podcasts. And then now the master facilitators of people like Blanker to say, I am all about offsite solutions, and we're going to go down that journey here together. But I first want to ask you about in the early, as you were getting ADL going, you saw some innovation in drones, and we did a whole deep dive series as we're building out the platform around the Art of Construction, to where we went out and worked with Clemson University of the theory and the practice, and then actually interviewed people about what hardware and the different schools and putting that stuff together. What makes innovations like this go to the next level? And why did you kind of see drones as that early adopter or early low-hanging fruit through Stow and ADL?
Yeah, great question. I'll back up a second and say that so ADL stands for all day long, and all day long, it's a Jerseyism, New Jerseyism, that really kind of reflects on if you see a deal that's so obviously awesome, you take it all day long, right? And so we wanted to create a company that was going to create ventures that were so obviously going to work that you bet on them all day long. And so we worked, like you said, we work in the interface of the startup world and the corporate world. And we're looking for the existential problems, the big problems that really matter to that company. Like what are the key challenges that are going to change their business in a cash flow positive way? Because you can't have impact without being realistic and being cash flow positive. So all of the renewable energy in the world doesn't help you if it's too expensive to buy it, right? And that applies to everything when it comes to clean energy, clean tech, decarbonization. So the drones thing for us was an idea that was born from the nerdy side of the house, like the MIT kind of background. We had access to drones and, you know, way, way back, long before most people knew had heard of what a quadcopter was. And but, you know, all that time, it was just some nerdy toy. When drones become useful is when they can solve a problem, a real world problem. And the people who can apply those are corporations. And if you could actually bring a solution like the drones to the corporation, you're going to have, it's going to work out, right? And you're probably going to have a very successful startup, and you're going to be able to integrate these two pieces together. So what we were doing with Stowe, we looked at, we have these drones. What does a drone do? Well, it goes around and flies. And what do we do here at Stowe? Well, we make building products and we sell them. We have installers as well. We have a whole network across the country. And we have relationships with like these, you know, Best Buy and Walmart, the big box stores, right? Or I can't remember exactly who everybody is, so I shouldn't cite anybody. But the point was that what if you took these drones, like normally one of these huge, huge chains, they have one CFO, one point of contact, one signature you got to get, and you could basically restore, you could basically retrofit and bring up to date all their stores. So that sounded like a great idea. But how would you get all the data to do that? And we realized, well, if you fly a drone with a camera on it and you fly around the building, you can use some advances in photogrammetry and artificial intelligence or machine learning. You could basically be able to look at every building in, say, Walmart, for example, just an example. And you could be able to say, for the entire nation's chain, like what has to happen in every single building, what materials have to be provided, what kind of work has to be done, and when you could get a sense for like how you could stage it. So ultimately, we had looked at this as the drone is an amazing salesman, effectively for us, without being a salesman. It goes out, it collects the data, it gets all the stuff that is needed. You can spec out the project, you can scope it, you can get the right people on the job site, and you can bring the whole package, could be the whole chain, to the CFO and have him sign it or her sign it, right? And so that was kind of the power of bringing an awesome technology into a pre-existing business that has it stuck together.
And that's pretty cool, Noel. And I know you've got some experience in insulation and specifically some styrofoam type products, and you really made something happen. Can you talk about how it became a real thing and what that looked like for you and your team?
Yeah. So we had this, one of our earliest projects. We had to basically, the backstory here is that there was a fire in London called, I think it was called Brentville or something like that. And there were a lot of people, it was tragic. A lot of people died. And it was the insulation material had caught fire, the styrofoam, because it's very flammable. And there was a real passion to actually move towards a safer material, something that wasn't, you know, flammable. So people would have had a chance to get out. And not only is that the right thing to do, not only is that the green thing to do, because you don't want to take out all the insulation systems, right? You need insulation, so it's still green, right? But it was also the right thing to do for the company, because if the company like loses the ability to use styrofoam in its wall systems, it's not going to be a good day. So it's you're finding the styrofoam. When we talk about it, it means find that critical thing, this existential challenge that the business needs to solve, and where everybody's already lined up. So if you can do that, you can that. If you could make that, we're going to buy it. Or if you create a company, a division that does that, we're going to merge it in. Right. And you know that from the beginning. So what then were we doing? We were looking at styrofoam. We're trying to find a non-flammable insulation alternative, drop and replacement. And we approached it from if you look in the building products industry and you're looking for this, you know, everybody can tell you it doesn't exist. So, and then a lot of people stopped looking, but we thought it better to look at this problem as a, you know, a challenging science problem to solve, as opposed to, you know, a business problem maybe. So we looked at creating a specification for how would this fantasy material, how would it look? What would its handling characteristics be? Cost per square foot? You name it, the whole specification for this product that doesn't really exist yet. And then we backed into it. We backed into it by, you know, we knew a lot of the technology and science behind making styrofoam. And we knew what styrofoam does, so we were able to guess at what areas of research would be out there that might actually be able to create something that is what we're looking for. And of course, you know, when it comes to when you think about, you know, science topics, they cut across all industries, right? So things that are not apparent from where you're standing in building products industry may be really obvious to people in, say, aerospace, because, you know, they put non-flammable tiles on the space shuttle or something like that. So that's kind of how we went about it. We looked for people out there who were doing something with a technology like that, with a science like that. And we specifically looked for kind of early stage startup teams that were doing something similar. And then we basically reached out to the world. We open sourced it, right? We got 400 applications in like 2 weeks. It was a ton of people. We had a really good system for doing it. And because we were going through a proprietary special network, we were getting very, very high quality, good technology applications. We wound up with, you know, by the time we'd screened it down to 20 potential things we might want to invest in, it was getting really hard because people liked a lot of different things we had. So there was no shortage of investments or things you could start or work on. Instead, it was just a shortage of like bandwidth to control and manage. So the idea, once you get the startup, is you would create, you give them a grant effectively. You give them a chunk of money. That chunk of money is not non-recourse. They just get it. And you give them a one-year work plan. They check in with you four times a year. You see how they're doing. You give them advice. And if they hit it, if they hit their milestones, we'll talk about next year. And that's kind of how we could go co-develop some of these companies together. And that really was, I think, the magic that makes it happen. It's the cooperation between the industrial world and the startup world. And that's that sticky middle, that middle ground that you said we're all in. That's exactly what that middle ground does. It facilitates the communication of information between each side. So ultimately, I'm droning on, so I'll stop pretty quick. But I'd say the most important thing to remember here is that in order to solve a really hard challenge, it's multidisciplinary, and it's also kind of it's also academic and also business. It all is wrapped into one kind of bucket. All the worlds have to communicate with each other. So startups don't communicate well with corporates, and corporates don't, you know, they get burned out by the startups, and they don't really want to spend too much time because it's not super effective for them. What ADL is great at, and I'm sure you guys are too, is being able to parse through, take what the startups need, go to the corporates, figure out the answer, bring it back without burning out the corporates, wasting a lot of time, And, you know, getting the startups what they need in a timely
fashion. Yeah, no, that's a great example of what, you know, ADL does and stands for. And, you know, Noel, I think I first met you on LinkedIn and started following some of your posts and started getting into some of the industrial guys construction. I think we eventually met up at the NAHB's Building Systems Summit in Washington, D.C. And so I know you're kind of in the industrialized construction, offsite construction, you know, but it really seems that there's been a lack of adoption for innovation. There's been a lot of talk about innovation, but not a lot of people, you know, actually adopting it, implementing it, integrating it into the systems built world. So my question for you is, why do you think that is? And more importantly, what do you see that is being done about it, whether it's ADL or anybody else? You know, what is truly being done within the industry to address some of those things?
That's a great question. That's Jason, that's a $1 trillion question right there. Whoever gets it right. So my take on this is that industrialized construction it's not a technology problem. We have the technology we need. It's really a system integrations problem. There's a little bit of technology we need to work out, but none of that is really super hard. It's mostly getting all the pieces to work together. And if you kind of, because if you think about it, there's a lot of companies, there's been tons and tons of these industrialized construction startups, and tons of them go away as well. And the problem everyone faces is that, and everyone says they're an end-to-end solution, by the way. And what does end-to-end mean at this point in time? I think it's a really important question. Well, end-to-end, when I talk about it, is starting with the developer and going to turning over the keys to the owner, right? End-to-end, literally. And a lot of everybody else who's been approaching the space, they're talking about, yeah, we're going from the end-to-end of design or the end-to-end of design and engineering or some other end-to-end, which is a subset of that bigger end-to-end line. And I guess to answer the question you said, I think we're seeing lots of failures because it's very, very challenging to do industrialized construction when you're not owning the whole value chain, right? Now, here's the kicker though. I mean, that's what Katerra tried, right? People try to own the whole value chain. Owning the whole value chain comes with a host of problems. One of them is that it costs a fantastic amount of money to do that. I think there was $2.5-3 billion into.
And you might not have the expertise to be able to handle the whole end-to-end system.
Precisely. I mean, there's a capital problem. There's a skills management problem. And then there's a killer problem, Jason. It is something I think that people don't appreciate enough. When you have a local, you know, GC on the ground, a lot of times that local GC, they're going to know that place where you're building. And they've probably been doing this for a very long time. And they know all the ins and outs of the localities, right? That kind of fixer on the ground is critical for a construction project. And if you are a national brand, right, building everything, you own everything, and it's all vertically integrated, well, you're going to wind up with a problem because you may not have the relationships in the areas that you need for when these buildings go in the ground. So I've been working with Ben Hershey at Forward Solutions Group. We partnered up and we found a company called Innovative Offsite. And Innovative Offsite it's a platform technology, but it's not just a piece of software. You can't just throw a piece of software over the transom and hope that people use the software. We've proven time and again, that doesn't work very well in IC. Instead, this is the software holds together what's the most important part. We call it the DNA, the delivery network affiliates. It's a group of people who basically are doing the building. And that group that's the fabricators, that's the transporters, that's the set crews. So all of the doers building the building and putting it in the ground, everybody's on the same platform. And guess who else? The developer's on the same platform.
So Noel, obviously you've got a pretty sizable team over there at ADL working on several different projects and businesses. Talk a little bit about your team, who they are, and kind of what all they do. What's their day-to-day look like?
So we've got a team of about 50 people, about half W-2s and contractors. We've got a fantastic group of multi-talented, multidisciplinary people who collaborate across industries, right, and across silos. And so the idea here really is that all of the problems that we talked about in IC, that's not just purely a construction problem, right? You got energy involved, you got transportation involved. So ADL does all three. We have expertise in all three areas, and these three areas work together to solve challenging, you know, multidisciplinary technical problems for innovative offsite or whatever we're doing.
And you've got another wing of your company, or you talk about Uptake Alliance. What all is Uptake Alliance all about?
So Uptake Alliance is actually the synergy of those three groups working together on the technology side to help promising ventures grow into promising divisions of new companies that can be uptaken by the corporates, right? Because we believe fundamentally that any of this work that we do, it goes to waste if it doesn't get adopted. So really what this is, what Uptake Alliance is about market adoption and making a climate impact in the process of doing that. And so it's the program is based in New York State. We've just kicked it off. It's a very large $8.5 million program. The organization is uniting the ecosystem down there. We're working with the startups. We're teaming up with all the New York agencies and incubators and accelerators and whatever's on the ground to do what it takes to get these startups to a place where they're going to get adopted into the mainstream.
So within ADL Ventures, do any of these, you know, interconnect to each other? You've got Uptake Alliance, now you've got Innovative Offsite. How do they all work together or don't they?
Oh, they all work together in synergy, right? So everything we're doing is a venture, right? So Uptake, for example, is basically a venture studio or accelerator venture studio type of thing, right? We work on another, the deployment engine. It's basically in West Virginia. That's a pure industrialized construction accelerator. Well, it's construction accelerator in buildings tech, but it's got a focus on IC and not all three groups. So there's a venture foundation of everything we do. Every time we're engaging with a corporate, we're looking for a new venture we can go build for them. And ultimately, our world is one where we spend our time deeply, wading into the pool of the startup community. Well, who are the innovators out there? What are the really cool ideas? What are the game changers? And really, how can we take a corporate need, a revenue generating opportunity, bring it into that community and turn it into something great?
No, that's awesome, Noel. I really appreciate your time today. We got a few minutes left here, but I do want to give a shout out. You know, if you guys want to continue this conversation and dive deeper into, you know, ADL Ventures and Innovative Offsite, please join us on the Master Facilitators group. We'll go into, you know, be able to connect, make connections and continue the conversation on and make sure that we can move this industry forward together. The other thing you can do is join us. Like Devin mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to be at the AEC Integration Summit. That's in Austin, Texas. We'll be there, and we'll be doing a couple podcasts from there as well, April 17th to the 19th. And again, a really good opportunity to try to put some integration around construction, the construction industry, and how we can tie all that in, tie the architects, the engineers, the constructors, the builders, the manufacturers, and really how do we connect them all together. So I'm super looking forward to that conference and being a part of that. And Noel, I got another question here before we let you go for the day. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction? Where do you see that going?
Well, I'm generally a techno optimist. I'm an exceptional optimist when it comes to industrialized construction. I think the stars are aligned today for that to happen. And you know, I actually do I do this little lecture thing at Stanford where we look back on the last 100 years of industrialized construction startups, and we see what they learned, right? What they did right, what they did wrong, what are the general outcomes. One thing you notice pretty quick is that most of them aren't around anymore, right? So this is a really hard business. But the other thing that you notice is that, and especially when you look back in the last 100 years, we've forgotten what makes sometimes the hard learnings of a Lustron Corporation back in the 50s or 40s, early 50s. There's a wealth of information in there for what we're doing today, or the Sears model, or Ben Hershey's. Actually, Ben Hershey's family had started the Hershey Lumber Company that got into this business in like the 40s or 50s, right? And they went out, they did it for 30 or 40 years very successfully. So there are things we can learn from the past. We can take those things right now and apply them to the future, because buildings are becoming, construction and buildings are becoming unaffordable, and we have to bring the price down. We have to have a sustainable society where it's more kind of decarbonized and more energy efficient. And ultimately, we want a higher quality product. We want a product that is like advanced manufactured, like a Tesla 3, something that costs less than the average sedan, but it is seen as a real nice premium item. We're going to do that with houses and buildings in general.
I absolutely love this conversation. And the part of kind of beginning with the end in mind blanker is that I think about the beginning where you and I really talked about go out and get processes that you can build from. With you and I, it was the entrepreneur operating system of being able to put all those balls in the air and then figure out how to break through the ceiling. And as I listen to you both have this conversation, it's such an honor for me to be the one who started the kindling around the Art of Construction podcast, but now figuring out how to do the riches and the niches, to say, you don't know what you don't know, and boy, you're jaded by what you think you know, right? When it comes to the word of offsite, or what we've coined as system-built construction. To do true system-built construction, you have to have the right riches in the niches, right? And so I'm the one working on the business, making these different connections to bring Noel in. And it's such a pleasure to get to know Noel, because he is threading so many different things together. And that's what you have to take. And then you have to have the right experts. And that's where I'm really honored to pass the baton to others like Blanker when it comes to offsite solutions, to come in and really focus on that, right? And to be that leader of offsite solutions. That one word is a lot of things, but it has to tie into a lot of other things, right? And so as we niche in here to pass the baton to the next podcast and the next summit, Noel, our call to action to you is get these great employees that you have to get involved in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators and the right people to go to the right conferences. And we can't be everywhere by ourselves to innovate. We have to innovate together. And the last question that we always ask along these lines is, what is that one thing, Noel, that you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business in this awesome new revolution that we're all unfolding together that we call system-built construction, of all these other words that you can put into an AI generator and it'll spit out a lot of stuff right now. But what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to connect these technologies to handshakes to grow their business?
I would think about it like this. These multidisciplinary system dynamics problems, system integrations problems, really, they're super hard. And no one's an island here. You can't do it by yourself. When people try to do it by themselves, they generally fail. So really, we need to get together. We need to communicate, and we do. We get together in these forums, like the ones you brought together, and we share ideas. And often we share problems, and sharing problems is good. We need to do that, but it can't stop there. It really can. And too often it does. And I know it's cathartic to just pour out the problems and then be done. But we kind of have to come to the table with, and I have maybe, here's an idea that might work, right? And the moment we start thinking about the future in terms of potential solutions, well, now we're talking, you'll see, it's those solutions, it's those conversations that start adding up. Not immediately, you can't solve it every day and every time you try to get it, but that habit makes the collaboration work better and ultimately gets us to a point where we can really make an impact in the area we're trying to change.
I love it. As these conversations are global and timeless, come join the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. But if you're listening to this and you're available April 17th through the 19th, Blanker and I are going to be doing a whole series around offsite solutions to breaking down these silos at the AEC Summit, turning shared pains into shared gains at Austin, Texas, through Nathan Woods and Jeff Sample and all kinds of great people at that summit. Noel, what an honor to get to know you. Thanks for jumping into this journey with us. We're honored to have you as a master facilitator here leading the Art of Construction and the tribe all coming together to really put this system-built revolution into action. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.